Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're right on track with this. You're right on track.
My idea, my theory, my guidance is a bit of a stretch.
Everybody make a mistake.
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are so wrong.
You're so wonderful.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
Someone intelligent on radio. Yay!
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Top 10% graduate of Catholic Radio School of Media Articulation and stuff. Well, I mean, you know, good to do it, sorta, kinda. You know what that's called? That's called embolalia. It's filler words. It's crutch words. Like. Big one is, That's not even a word. So, I was thinking, there is one very high-profile political personality who begins virtually every single answer with well. If he's asked a question, very bright guy, extremely bright, knowledgeable fella, begins it with well. Dr. Ray, why do you pay attention to all this stuff? Because you have to. When you're sitting in therapy and you're listening to someone describe something, the words they use, that's important. You got to home in, not hone in. See, that misused all the time. Home, as in homing pigeon, homing device. You have to home in on how they talk, on their expression. I know I still do that. I say okay a lot, or I will say, in a situation like that, I'll throw in a you know here and there. I just don't want it to become a regular part of my expression. Well, you know. I mean, the number, sorta, kinda, is 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. If you would like to be part of the program. And you are a crucial part of the program. Without you, there is no program. I suppose I could talk for an hour, but I don't want to. I want to hear from you. Situations in your life, circumstances, people, places, things, stuff of your life. Whether it's a struggle, emotional turmoil. I can't do therapy here, and I'm certainly, have you ever heard? I've never diagnosed anybody on this show. You know that. I'm not going to ever do that. But what I can do is educate, give a few thoughts, ponder options, look at potential ill effects or positive effects, see what we can do. Just to learn a little bit. It's amazing about this kind of stuff, advice, and that wasn't very articulate, was it? This kind of life stuff advice is that a small change in direction can bring about some pretty dramatic positive changes. I've heard it said if you're aiming for Jupiter, and whatever you're aiming with, if you're aiming with a rocket ship, some kind of liftoff satellite, or a golf ball, if you are the smallest fraction off in your calculations, minuscule, infinitely small, you'll miss Jupiter by tens of thousands of miles. So, 877-573-7825 in number. Again, I want to just remind the people in the Living Bread Radio area here, the Canton and surrounding turf, good Lord permitting, I'll be at St. Mary's in Akron this Saturday. I'm going to try to get over there to the Queen of Heaven Happy Days, or what they're calling their festival. Fun Days, I think. Yeah, Fun Days. Happy Days, I was thinking of the Fonz and maybe Richie Cunningham be there. But that said, I'll be over there, good Lord permitting. 6 o'clock, the action starts at St. Mary's in Akron. So if you would like to come, I'd be delighted to have you. The week after, the 26th, heading to Houston, the Dean Martin song, Going Back to Houston, for the Guadalupe Radio Network Summer Speaker Series at the Lone Star Air Museum. And if you go to grnonline.com, you can sign up. All the folks there, looking forward to that. I always have a great time with GRN. Wonderful people. Anything else? No. I came across, and I would think this is philosophical theorizing, of someone who said two very core instincts in humans is the desire for certainty and belonging. We're social creatures. No way you can get that out of us. Isolation has all kinds of ill effects on our mental, emotional, physical health. And that was a big factor in the COVID lockdowns. Huge factor. We're just now starting to uncover all the effects and that kind of isolation imposed upon a whole society. But certainty, it struck me, then much of what people ask about for their own lives, they want to make a decision that they can be certain is going to work out. A common example is the parent who says, my 20-year-old is uncooperative, completely uncooperative, and I would like to tell him to leave, live his own independent existence if he can't cooperate here. But they want to be certain that there won't be any unseen, untoward effects. They want that certainty. Remember our Lord said, if you're going to follow him, don't keep looking back from the plow. You make a decision and you recognize you can't guarantee how it's going to work out. Many people will say, well, I want to know what the Lord wants me to do. Are you saying that I want to make a decision that's guaranteed by God? I think a lot of times the Lord wants you to make a good decision on the basis of what you know at the time and then find out how it goes. Well, I don't know if I should take that job or not. I don't either. You don't either. You're going to have to make a decision and then see what happens. But see, we don't like living like that. Something in us rebels to that kind of uncertainty. I was recently talking to what sounds like a very lovely mom. She had multiple children, taking in some foster kids. And she took in a 7-year-old. They had already taken in an infant and I think a 1-year-old. So the 7-year-old happened to be a half-sister of the 1-year-old, as I understand it. And her older children were reacting very badly. Did not like this. Felt it was robbing them of their family life. Parents were spending too much time, supposedly, with this foster child. And mom said the foster child is really not a behavior problem, at least at this point. And so she really wanted to know what to do. What do we do? Do I say to Children's Services, look, I just can't. It's causing too much family upheaval. My children are getting resentful and unhappy about this. Or does she say, I'm going to do this and my children are going to have to accept this as a good thing to do. And at some point, hopefully their hearts will soften. But in the meantime, I can't be dictated by what they want. Now, she's got two options there. Both of them are plausible. And I remember saying to her, you want certainty, don't you? And I think that was part of why she asked my opinion. That somehow I would have some special predictive power as to which would be the best direction to go. And I said, I don't know. If that 7-year-old stays with you, it could be within 6 months or a year, your kids have acclimated to her there and have welcomed her with open arms into the family. Or could be they just stay upset and resentful. If you say to the local county agency, this is not something that we can take on. We've got a boatload of children, and we also have a couple of foster kids already. This is a lot. This is kind of an overload here. Can't do it. Well, that doesn't mean they're being unchristian. Doesn't mean they're being uncharitable. They're making a judgment. And that's what life is. It's a bunch of judgments. I didn't know when I was in college at all really what I wanted to do for a career. I thought it was engineering. After the first year, I found out it wasn't. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to prepare for law school. I'm going to go to law school. I took all kinds of law courses as an undergraduate, preparing. I took philosophy, too, which messed up my head for the rest of my life. Because I thought, okay, philosophy, critical thinking, this is what you need as an attorney, depending upon what area of the law you go into. So I headed in that direction. And it took me 3 years to find out, okay, that's not where I want to go. I had no certainty. I made a decision. When my wife and I adopted the children, each one was kind of a decision. It's like, okay, one more. And how will it affect the family? How will it affect our family structure? What will happen? Who of our children will like this and who won't? When we adopted the twins, they were four. It was like throwing a couple of fizzies right in the middle of our family life. Our three-year-old started biting. One time she threatened, "You're going back." And my wife and I, who up at that point had a relatively quiet, disciplined family, things quite got undisciplined with the kids, who didn't have much discipline their first several years of life. Bad move? No, it smoothed out. Smoothed out. Took a couple of years, but it smoothed out. And at one point, my daughter, who most resisted this four-year-old girl coming into our family, cited her as her best friend in adolescence. You can't know. That's the trouble. An analogy I use is if you have 1,000 parts for a decision, 501 say go in that direction, 499 say go in the other direction. You got to go with the 501. But that doesn't mean the 499 disappear. If you let them, they will be fuel for second guessing. Did I do the right thing? I mean, there's so many other factors over here that I've decided to either ignore or go against. Got to make that decision. Which is the best direction to go? And oftentimes, God isn't going to give you a clear answer. He wants you to act with wisdom, ask for His grace and guidance, and then move ahead. And then you got to see how it unfolds. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Definitely would like to hear from you.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Certainly there are people who are fond of you. There are those who admire you, who respect you, who slap you on the back and say, "Keep up the good work." When all's said and done, though, how many people love you? How many have a simple delight in your presence? How many back doors can you enter without knocking, without giving advance notice? In the halls of the school where I teach, I often hear the young calling to each other, love you too. And I smile, because I know very few of those relationships will survive beyond high school. No, love, the real thing, is a rarity, and the faster our world moves, the fewer are those capable of it. There's one person, though, that has a natural capacity to love, one whose eyes illuminate when he sees the beloved, one who simply wants to be close. This person is a child. In a world already so harsh, why, then, do we kill love every day by the thousands? GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You're listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Several years into our marriage, my wife and I mutually decided we didn't want children. The hard part of that was figuring out how to tell the kids. Not true, it's a joke, come on. But Bianca, who apparently was listening to my opening monologue about certainty, the craving for certainty, says, okay, Dr. Ray, answer this one, Mr. Smarty Pants. Hi, Bianca. Andrew, is Bianca there? Her question is this. When do you know it's the right time to have another child? See, there's the question of certainty. I want to know it's the right time. How will you know it's the right time? There are unknowns. Many unknowns. Now, the Catholic teaching on this, going all the way back to Christ, has been pretty clear. To be open to life. Okay. All right, Bianca, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
I got you now. What happened to you, honey? Where'd you go?
I could hear you the whole time. I'm not sure. So I hung up and I called quickly, and hopefully you can still take my question.
Well, I can, but I probably won't be as smart because I was already geared up to be smart like a minute ago, and some of it faded.
All right, well, let's just hope. I'll cross my fingers.
Are you a mom of any yet?
I am. I have a one-year-old boy and a three-year-old boy.
Pretty nice, pretty nice. So you do not know what it's like to live with a woman yet, do you?
No, I do not know that.
You have a girl, she's going to tell you by age two how wrong you're doing it in everything.
You know what? That's what I hear from, or, you know, what I see from some of my friends, as well as stories that I hear from my mother. So I can only imagine, right?
Well, right now, I'm going to tell you what, you know what the society would say. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I think everybody around you would say, Bianca, why are you even thinking about having another kid? Come on. You've got two. They're close together. They're little. What are you doing? Are you getting any of that?
I am. And the main thing, the reason why I'm getting that and even shut down by even, you know, my mother saying, no more kids, Bianca, is because I did have a hard time with postpartum depression with both of my children. And so, you know, family members and friends seeing me go through that, they've said, why would you have another one? And also just the work, you know, the amount of work of two toddlers running around and, you know, constantly being needed. And, you know, they ask why just wait. And so my question is, well, is it up to me? Should it be up to me? And
who else is it up to, my dear?
Well, now you got me thinking. Now my follow-up is, with what the church believes when it comes to contraceptives, am I sinning by purposely not trying to have a child yet and waiting?
No, not if you're not using artificial contraceptions. The church doesn't say you have to have relations or you're denying a child. No. Matter of fact, natural family planning is very reliable, more reliable even than the pill, in terms of spacing out your pregnancies for good reason. And someone would say, and I think you would have no problem with somebody saying, hey, you got a three-year-old and a one-year-old here, and you're overloaded, and you had two times with postpartum depression. Yeah, that's good reason to delay another child, certainly. But if you would say, well, both times my postpartum depression did not last long, and I quickly became a mother who, with all the work involved, I never could believe how these kids would crawl underneath my heart. Is that safe to say?
That is safe to say, on top of the fact that the way I have immersed myself into educating myself and strengthening my faith, it has not happened to where I am now, where I wake up and I wake up before my kids and read the Gospel of Luke, or I'm turning on, you know, this radio instead of regular music. There's all these small decisions that I've been making that I want to add up to. The main big decision is being ready when Jesus comes. And part in that is me leading as a mother. And so that's why I think I'm questioning this whole thing is, well, also, if I do go through postpartum again, and let's just say I do, I don't want to live in that fear. Because if I live in that fear, then I'm not giving it to God. And then what am I doing? So I kind of go through this whole process of thinking, and I'm led to this questioning myself.
Well, a lot of it comes down to the details on postpartum. In other words, how long did it last? How depressed were you? Was it relatively well treated by medication? And you say, yeah, it was about a 3-week thing or a 6-week thing, and yeah, I recovered rather quickly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's something to consider. Now, if you say, well, no, I was depressed for a year and a half, and I barely could take care of my kid. Well, now that's a different ballgame. So I'm not going to ask you to those details, only you know that. But if you say, all things considered, I want to be open if God gives me another kid. I want to do that. Well, then you could do that. And you know, what you might want to do, Bianca, you might want to send out letters to everybody you know and just say, just to let you know, in your opinion, I'm now being stupid. Okay, maybe you don't have to do that. Okay. Just to let you know, it's none of your stinking business.
Yeah.
I know you're saying, as I get closer in my faith, I want to be more open to life. And there's some complications here. The church certainly would not ask you to just keep taking in kid after kid after kid after kid after kid, no matter what. You can use natural family planning to make decisions overall. However, if you say, yeah, if I have another kid, it's going to be workload. It's going to be workload. I'll be tired. We had 6 kids under 6. All right? It was nuts. I didn't go home. I would write my wife letters. I'd send her UPS things. Hope everything's going good for you, honey. Anything I can do, tell the kids I love them. We had 6 under 6. Yeah, it was kind of nuts. My wife, she raised them beautifully, and the most amazing thing was that I watched and said, "But you're doing fine, honey. I just really love the way you're doing it." But in fact, if you decide you want to do that, you can do it. I think you want the certainty, like my opening monologue was, which is,
yes.
Okay, how do I know how this is going to work out? You don't. You don't. But here's the thing. Here is the thing. You are not totally vulnerable to how it works out. You're there. You can adjust. You can deal with it. You're a smart woman. You can make changes. You can figure it out. You can change the way you think. You can change the way you act. You can become more efficient. You can do all kinds of things. It's not a matter of automatically, if I have a third kid, I'm going to be overloaded. It's not that. The only thing that's automatic is everybody else is going to give you grief. That's what's automatic. And you can just look at them and say, boy, I think 3's a good start. Yeah, that'll mess them up. God bless you, Bianca. What a delightful call.
You're listening to The Least Worst Of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Giving you Ray Medial Psychological Education. an old-fashioned dad trapped in an aging psychologist's body. Boy, was I upset yesterday. People say, "Did you get upset?" Yeah, I got upset. I was doing the dumbbells on the bench. Prior to my surgery, I could do a certain amount. Post-surgery, I was getting very, very close to that amount until yesterday. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And my brother, who lives with me, said, Ray, you're now 8 months older than you were prior to your surgery, so we don't know if it was the surgery or your age. Thanks, buddy. Needed that encouragement. Maureen from New York has a question for me. Hi, Maureen.
Hello.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I adopted a son from Eastern Europe, and, you know, I've had him for about 27 years and got him at 3. It just seems like he was always, in the beginning, this kind of contrary, and now it's like even worse. I'm always stepping on eggshells, and he gets very angry. He flies off the handle very quickly. I just don't know how to approach him anymore. I mean, he's like very impulsive, unreasonable. We can't talk to him, and he's way past 25. I mean,
does he live with you?
I don't know what to do.
Does he live
with you? Well, right now I gave him an apartment. I pretty much pay for everything because I want him to do a little cleaning there on this property. And, yeah, I give him little chores to do. But whenever I give him a chore to do, he'll say, "Give me more, give me more." I go, "But you haven't even done the first chore."
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a habitual liar. Like, he'll say, "I'm cleaning the apartment when I go, and there's trash all over the place." Like, I was there yesterday. He went to work, and I was like, it was so hot in the apartment. I said, "Well, there's an air conditioner. Put it in." I know, and he's always tired. I don't know. And I tell him, go for a checkup. It just seems he's not happy.
Maureen, when you adopted him from Eastern Europe, which country was it? Romania, Bulgaria, where was it?
Well, it was Russia.
Okay. You know. And how old was he?
He just became 3.
And
three, and when I got him, he was just 2 months past his 3rd birthday. He was there a short time because the person managed the orphanage. The daughter her daughter couldn't conceive, so she was thinking of adopting him. Then she conceived, and she gave him up. But he was going to their place on the weekend, and there were nice little pictures of them on picnics and everything together. So he was kind of privileged at the orphanage. It seemed that way by pictures.
So he spent 3 years at an orphanage?
Yeah.
Okay.
But also, like, part-time in someone's house.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if there was any...
Like,
do you know if there's any alcohol use when she was in...
I don't know, because the records were... I didn't get much on the records. But it just, like, he flies off the handle very easily.
Okay.
And right now he's, like, more frustrated because, I don't know, his girlfriend left him after 4 years. Just because she said, I said, "Why did you leave?" I mean, she told me. She said, because basically lying. You can't trust him. He lies a lot. And he does the same thing to me. "I'm cleaning, Ma. I'm going to send you a picture." I don't even respond anymore because he's been saying that for the last 3 years. So I don't respond anymore.
Maureen, when you do not know the history of a child, especially one from overseas, you can probably assume they're going to be hard to raise. Going to be perhaps learning problems, personality adjustment problems, impulse problems, deception problems, things that are hard to socialize out of this child as he gets older, because that first 3 years, and in the womb, he was not with you. He didn't have your stimulation. He didn't have your interaction with adults. When you live in an orphanage, forget it. There was just a boatload of kids there, and whatever attention he got was bits and pieces from workers. So in many, many respects, he was probably delayed, and his neurological development, especially in the higher parts of the brain that are involved with judgment, good decision-making, anticipation, impulse control, weighing consequences, all these things didn't quite get the meat that they would have gotten if he was with you. Now, that said, what that means is, and go ahead.
But what can I do going forward? I understand all this. I took a chance, and I'm not blaming anyone.
Well,
I made that decision.
What you do going forward?
What can I do going forward?
Well, sure.
He's basically not a bad person.
What you do going forward is you recognize, unfortunately, that he's going to make a lot of bad moves.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
you're going to either hear about him, or be asked to pick up the pieces, and you'll have to decide whether you will, or do what you said to me just a few sentences ago, which is, I don't even want pictures anymore because I know he lies. All right? So
yeah,
you solved that problem. Yeah, you solved that problem. You're not going to frustrate yourself because he doesn't tell you the truth. And you know that now. So you don't get all upset. You recognize...
No, I don't get upset. That's why I handle it better now, calmer.
That's the best thing you can do. You recognize he's a 27-year-old young man who is, at this point, probably very immature and
Oh, my God. You said it so immature. Yesterday, I just spoke to him, and he didn't like what I said. He came from work, and he slammed the door so hard, I thought it broke.
Certainly. That's right.
You know, like, you can't even...
Right. I don't want to say quit trying, but what I'm going to say is, in many respects, you have to let him... make his decisions, feel the results, and recognize you can't, in many cases, make it better. You can't. Okay? He's going to do what he wants, and you even tried to give him advice, and he exploded. So, given all that, you got a young man that you're actually supporting by letting him live in a place, and you've had a few requirements on him, most of which he hasn't even met. So, given all that, you recognize and you say, okay, this is how his brain works. This is his personality. So, in fact, he's going to make life really tough for himself. He is. Now, I'll pick up whatever pieces I wish to pick up. Other pieces I'm not going to. I'm going to let him experience the results of his actions. But the days of you trying to fix it and make it all better, you're just going to get frustrated.
See that? My plans are changing. My long-term plans have changed. They're slowly changing, correct?
Sure, because you realize he's not going to cooperate.
Is there anything I can do in terms of, like, what kind of therapy would you recommend if he's willing to do that at one point? Like, do you think he needs a psychiatrist? Do you think he needs a psychologist?
At this point, I don't know. I can't know, but if he's willing to go to a counselor to help him think through his decisions and maybe make a few better ones, okay. But at this point, it sounds like he's just going to get knocked around by life because he makes the same mistakes over and over again. Maureen, thank you so much, and God bless you for adopting this young man. You gave him a loving home and a loving mother. And you know what my wife says? If he weren't with you, he wouldn't have anybody to pray for him. Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. The 60-minute psych aerobic workout here on The Doctor Is In. Co-production of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Ave Maria Radio Communications there in Ann Arbor. I want to send out some congratulations here. Let me get this one. Yes, here we go. This is to 10 years. 10 years on the EWTN Radio Network, KSWZ. 105.3 FM. They serve St. George and Manhattan, Kansas. So congratulations to Kent Hampton and his team at the Sword of St. George from all of us here at EWTN. This is great. I just love seeing all these new and ongoing affiliates. One more thing before I go to your calls. And you guys are probably getting tired of this if you're any kind of regular listener. And Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, he's a somewhat regular listener. I don't think he listens the whole time, even though he's in the studio. I think he puts on another station or another host. But, again, we're going to... All right, let me be a little more vague. We, Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show, God willing, will be in Buffalo, New York for tapings. August 19th and 20th. We did that about 6 years ago. Wonderful, wonderful experience. Going back again. Buffalo people just, they fill up the audience. And it's partly selfish. Because the bigger the audience, the more fun the show, the more action on the show. And the folks, I already got bits set up for you. So, given all that, I want to invite you. You can come to one show, two shows, three shows, four shows. You can stay and get fed in between, or you can stay and eat and then leave. I know some of you do that. Shows are 5 and 7:15 on August 19th and August 20th, WNED Studios. You don't have to remember all that. All you do is just go to thestationofthecross.com, one big long word, their homepage, and you can sign up for as many shows as you'd like. Father Larry Richards will be there the 19th, the whole time. Both shows, he's going to be there. He has a segment, Living the Faith, that we've had on the show for 14 years, Father Larry and I. But now he's going to be there live. So we're going to figure out a way to work him into the program. And I'm already noticing that some of the shows on Tuesday are increasing rapidly in audience numbers. So thank you very much on that. Tim is calling from Vancouver, Washington. Hello, Tim.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, sir, looking behind me, and I don't see anything coming up on the outside lane.
Nice. So I've got a granddaughter who likes to read during dinner. Her parents have always allowed it, and it drives me crazy. Like when she comes over to our house, she always brings a book, and she opens up the book and starts reading during dinner. And my wife says, don't alienate her, just let it go. But it just drives me crazy that she's sitting there reading a book instead of conversing with the family and taking part in the dinner conversations. And I just need to know what you think I should do.
What does she do the rest of the time that it's not dinner?
She's reading a book or watching TV.
How old is she?
Watching shows. She's 13.
13. So what she's saying is, I really don't want to be here. It's boring, and I'm going to find something to keep me occupied until I can go?
All right, yeah.
Why does she come anyway?
She enjoys visiting, I guess, with us, but, you know, playing games and such. She likes playing games when she comes over, board games, card games, things like that. But when there's nothing else going on, or like I say, during dinner, she's got a book out and she's reading.
And your wife is just flat out scared that if you say dinner time is time for us to sit and eat and have company, your wife is afraid that she'll just hate that and she won't come back.
Well, she's not afraid. She just doesn't want us forcing our opinions onto her.
Oh. Well, where does forcing your opinions onto her end? Let's say she's with you on Sunday and you're going to go to church, is that forcing your opinion on her? Let's say that she wants to wear something that is truly inappropriate for a 13-year-old. Is that forcing your opinion on her? I mean, where does this forcing your opinion end?
Well, if it's something that is really, you know, inappropriate, then of course we would probably say something to her mother about it.
What if you said to your wife, I'm going to require her not to read at the table? What would your wife do?
She would ask me to just leave her be.
She's already done that. So if you said, okay, I've heard your opinion, I don't agree, and I'm not going to let her read at the table because I just want to have some time to relax and interact with her, what would your wife do?
It would never come to that. I would never force something onto my wife, for one thing, that she felt that I shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
That she felt would... probably would never occur, but if it did, she would object to it, but, you know...
Well, Tim, you've just set the terms. You've said, I'm helpless in doing anything about this. I can't simply say, honey, at the dinner table we don't read, we don't have the phones out, we don't do anything, we just talk to each other. You've already said, I can't do that, because my wife would veto it. The only option you have left is to take your granddaughter aside and talk with her about that and say, I really wish you wouldn't read at the table. I really enjoy your company, and I'd like to talk to you. Now, my gut tells me you've already done that.
No, I have not. Good suggestion. Good recommendation.
If you haven't done that, you just got to try it. Yeah, and then if she just ignores you, then she's making a very strong statement. It's not... I wish to read because it's boring sitting at the dinner table with you guys. She's saying, I don't care what you'd like. I'm going to do this anyway. Now, maybe you could tell your wife, I'm going to speak with her about this, and hopefully she'll say, okay, Grandpa, I'll do that. That's a nice thing. I can do that, Grandpa. And you tell her thank you. You give her a kiss and everything. And you could tell your wife, I tried that. And she just ignored it. She blew it off. Now what do we do? And your wife will probably say, well, then we just let her do what she wants.
That's correct.
Yeah, and you're going to have to live with it, Tim, because if you're telling me that as long as your wife says no, you're not going to say, well, honey, you can't read at the table here. You're not going to say that. Then you have to count on your granddaughter being reasonable and saying, if that's what Grandpa wants, I can do that. For the 12 minutes I'm sitting at the table. There's your options, my friend. You don't have a whole lot of them.
Got it.
But good luck. Let me know.
Thank you so much.
Let me know how it goes. I'd be interested in hearing about your granddaughter's response. All right, my friend. God bless you. This is Dr. A taking a break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the pro-abortion community in Michigan created a committee to amend the state's constitution, I started talking. Michigan had a strong abortion ban. Proposal 3 was introduced to amend the state's constitution, making abortion legal up until birth and taking away parental consent. I knew that communicating on social media would be challenging, so I engaged with people one-on-one, talking with people who identified as pro-choice. Once I shared the details of the ballot proposal, I couldn't find one person who would support it, yet it passed. I realized how anti-Christian the world was becoming. In 2022, Father John Ricardo spoke at a Right to Life dinner, opening for keynote speaker Jim Harbaugh, then University of Michigan football coach. The coach displayed courage, knowing ahead of time the backlash he would get for talking about pro-life. The enemy is the enemy and the father of lies. We must continue to communicate truth in Christ and communicate life with love and charity. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Bing Crosby, the man with that incredible baritone voice, said, supposedly, that he was most proud of his whistling ability. The song White Christmas has a little whistle riff to it. And that's Bing. He's whistling during the White Christmas song. One of the big singers, I think it was Sinatra, turned down the song. Thought it was a little too, kind of bland, perhaps hokey. And it went on to be the all-time biggest seller. And Bing Crosby never took a royalty for it and for Silent Night. He said it wasn't right to make money, at least with those songs, off our Lord's birth. Oh, those... You don't hear too much of that coming from too many stars nowadays. I want to just close up with this. I don't have time to grab another thing. This is no longer the days when out-of-wedlock pregnancies were rare. Rarer. The statistics in the U.S. on an out-of-wedlock pregnancy was, I think, under 10% in 1960. It's approaching 50% now. So, typically, more children were placed for adoption because they were born in circumstances that were not risky. A very high percentage of adopted kids now are coming from very, very different circumstances. Either overseas, usually delayed in the adoption, 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Or they've been drug and alcohol exposed in the womb and birth mom lost custody. Children's services came in. A lot of at-risk type of scenarios. Because of that, neurologically speaking, unfortunately, in a percentage now, this is the old craving certainty. You can't know for sure. All right. Some of my kids have had rough circumstances, and they went on to be beautiful human beings, very mature, very level-headed. So you can't totally predict. However, what you can say is the likelihood is higher that these kids are going to have long-lasting adjustment problems in life. Marine's call with her 27-year-old son. She described a history of him being immature, maybe defiant, deceptive, sneaky. A lot of things that would enter into his making very poor decisions. Or drifting. Not so much making poor decisions, but making no decisions. Kind of existing. And that isn't something that you look at and say, well, psychologically speaking, what were the dynamics here in his upbringing? In many cases, if the parents say, well, I don't know how well I handled it, and maybe that was the problem. Well, what was happening was they were reacting. They didn't cause it. They were reacting to the behaviors, the thinking, the immaturity, the learning problems, whatever it was that neurologically didn't get a good, solid jump start. There's the difference. Now, I certainly am not saying you do not adopt, not at all. But what I am saying is that sometimes, as in Maureen's case, She slowly, 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 if you listen to between the lines of what she was saying, she very slowly came to the realization that she couldn't influence him like she had thought she could or hoped she could. And that in many cases she had to stand sort of by and watch him lose his girlfriend of 4 years because he lied too much. And he didn't recognize that he was going to lose her if he lied. And there was nothing she was going to do to convince him, don't lie. It's a reality, unfortunately, in some cases. A lot of research is coming out. Those first 3 years, neurologically speaking, that womb environment, very important for the thickening up of the brain parts that are involved in mature thinking, anticipation of consequences, self-control, impulse control, seeing ahead, judgment. What did you think was going to happen if you did that kind of judgment? So, anyway, enough of that. I got to go. I want to thank Andrew Krucek for his board operating and call screaming over there in Ann Arbor. And I want to thank you for keeping me company. I appreciate it so very much. Tomorrow, Look Back Friday, and I hope to see you in Buffalo. That'd be really, really cool. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.